Hey, immediately after the podcast today, we have a songwriter spotlight. It's back, and this time Jim Collins, a guy who's written songs for everybody, Alan Jackson, George Strait, Kenny Chesney, etc. So make sure that you listen all the way through to the very end.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind.
So
they
have an extra one.
What? We call it the podcast.
That's how we get the podcast. Yep. The podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
I was hoping you'd do that one.
What? The gold? That's the newest gold. Yeah. If you're new to the podcast and you don't know what golds are, binge listen. You'll get caught up. There you go. Golds. I was about to explain it. I was about to pull a Eli Porter. Iron
Come
Mike.
Come on, Marlo.
Marvo. I almost did it. We're not going to tell you what the golds are, but here's what the golds are. So real quick, do want to mention thank you to Audible, audible.com, where they are actually sponsoring this week's podcast. And Audible makes getting more books in your life very easy. And what's not to love about that? They've got an unbeatable, crazy selection of audiobooks with all your favorite performances. You can change your long commute. Let's say you're going on a big road trip. Throw on a book. It's awesome. I do it all the time. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial with your first audiobook where it's free. And all you do is go to audible.com/Bubba. And Audible has a collection of exclusive originals, short stories, comedies. Plus, they've got the best of news, podcasts, and more. And they're handpicked, continuously refreshed, and you can check it out. Again, audible.com/Bubba to start your 30-day trial and get your very first audiobook free.
Yeah, it was great to have Darius in. That new album is really...
Darius is awesome, man.
He's really good.
And I just love the fact that, you know, when we were talking with him, he knew... Like, before I did country music, I did, you know, like you started in Christian radio. I started in rap radio. And then on Sunday nights, we used to do the Quiet Storm, which is like slow jams. You know, it's all the love making music and stuff. And like Darius was like, he sang some Teddy Pendergrass in here. I was like, oh, I want to hear that. I want to hear Darius do a whole album of slow jams.
I'd never heard of Teddy Pendergrass.
Until you met me.
I thought I was like a lawn service guy. I didn't know.
Sadly, I think you're actually telling the truth.
He might be doing that now. Is he still alive?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, Teddy died.
Oh, sorry to
Teddy
hear that.
Teddy died.
He did. By the way, Patrick has you have a date tonight?
What?
Oh, don't I hear that right? I thought you had a date tonight. You had a date the other night.
No, I don't have a date tonight.
Did you have one the other night?
I haven't had a date in, I don't know, 2 weeks.
I'm just an awful person, aren't I?
You're just making stuff up. Were
you just trying, terrible. Were you just trying
just
to get
terrible,
him
to, terrible person,
to admit that he had one?
He did have one.
Not happening.
Is there anybody on the radar at all?
Nope.
That's weird, man.
It is weird.
Like, you're a desirable dude.
Yeah, you are.
Sure I am.
No, I mean that. You are. You're a good guy. You got the radio thing going, too. I mean, sorry, I just hit the button. Stop that.
Man, we're good at this.
I dropped my banana.
Wow.
I dropped my banana. That's not something you hear every day on any podcast anywhere. I dropped my banana, and it landed on the keyboard, and it started music.
Hey, man, good for you. What you're born with. Is it Melinda?
Yeah.
Melinda's in the studio. Melinda came in. She's
pull that microphone down real close to your face there.
She's visiting and came in and took a. We didn't really give. Did anyone give her a tour? Did we just?
No, we haven't even given her a tour yet. Like literally, we were finishing up what we were doing, and we said,
I was too early.
Yeah, you were a little early. That's all right. She was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be." In town, want to come by and see you guys. So it always works until someone kills us. And then, we'll be like, God, you know what? We should have seen that coming. Like, really? Like, why would we do that?
Melinda, you're not going to kill us, are you?
No.
Okay.
I may put you to work. You guys can come milk cows.
She's in a dairy farm.
She's a dairy farmer.
Yeah.
It's the best, man.
How long has it been in your family?
It hasn't been like handed down from generation to generation. My grandpa started it, and then my dad took it over.
That actually is being handed down.
Well, not from like but forever. Everybody's like, not, oh, you must have been hundreds of years in the family. No,
it's not. A good 75.
How did they get involved in dairy farming to begin with?
My grandpa wanted to be a dairy farmer.
He just said one day he woke up and he said, man, I feel like squeezing a cow's boobs for a little bit.
They're not
I
boobs, guess. First off.
Teats.
They're teats.
I know, teats. But I just think teats sounds dirty.
So if you... there are different types of milk cows, right?
Yeah.
What kind do you have?
We have Jerseys.
And what's the difference between that and like...
Holstein, a black and white cow.
Black and white, yeah.
That, our butterfat content is higher than what a Holstein's is, actually.
My butterfat brings all the boys to the yard.
So we like, with our milk, they make more cheese and butter and stuff out
of
that.
So is the milk better?
It is 10 times better. Like, when I take it out of the fridge, I have to make sure I shake it every time because there will be literally that much cream sitting on top.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So if you don't shake it, then you're pouring cream into a cup and drinking that.
That sounds great. How do you laugh. That sounds awesome.
How can we just like buy that? They don't sell that, though.
You can't buy that.
No,
like,
because it has to be pasteurized.
Why?
Like,
unless you own your own cow.
Hydrogenized and pasteurized and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if it's the bacteria that they're freaking out about, but I have the theory
you
that...
You probably should know this.
I know.
Well, she's in that process. She's I'm actually in the milking process.
Oh, you take it and then you send it off and they do it?
Yeah.
All right.
I have no idea about that process.
Okay. But you can... what they call it raw milk is when you just drink it. You just get it and drink it after it's been in the refrigerator or whatever.
What it does is it goes through the pipes. We have milkers. We put them on. Goes through the pipes, goes through a filter.
It looks like reverse IVs, by the way. It's like all the. It looks like these cows are hooked up to IVs at the hospital.
I never thought of that until you said that. I'm like, oh, yeah, it kind of does.
So that goes to, what's the filter get rid of?
It just gets rid of any extra like sawdust they have on them after we've cleaned them off. You can't always get everything off of them.
Uh-huh.
So it's like any little bits and pieces.
Oh.
Would go through it. It looks like we call it a sock.
Uh-huh.
You're talking to the microphone a little more. Because people everybody wants to know all about dairy farming.
Call it a sock.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, come on in, do the podcast with us.
We call it a sock, and it's just like a real thick
sock?
Papery type.
Like a filter.
Yeah, a really thick filter. And milk just goes through it and gets rid of any little extra pieces.
Uh-huh.
Then it goes into our tank, and it has coolers in the tank.
Uh-huh.
We actually have, there's coolers in the bottom of the tank and in the top. And
so you have to refrigerate fresh milk?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought like
fresh
milk
before. Well, it has to be cooled down or your bacteria can go up on it and like that.
So you
it has to be at a certain temperature.
So you start cooling it down immediately.
Yeah. After the first like 24, 48 cows. Will turn on the coolers.
Okay.
But
and then it sits in these big chambers.
Just big bulk tank.
And it just cools down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has like a spigot and you just drink out of it.
We'll get our jugs and we'll fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then
The stuff you were talking about in your fridge, is that cow stuff or has that been pasteurized?
No, it hasn't been pasteurized. It's just out of the tank.
Okay. So
okay,
so
but
how
here's
does
the
work?
Thing though. If you have it in the tank, aren't you supposed to theoretically shake the tank? I mean, aren't...
No, it has a stir.
Like an agitator?
Yeah, an agitator. Yep.
So, okay. All right. So then you put your jug underneath it. You get your fill, and then you put it in the fridge, and that's what you put on your cereal or coffee or
So you
drink.
Don't drink pasteurized milk and homogenized and all the other iced?
Nope.
And you're still alive?
Yes, I am. I've not broken a bone either.
Hmm.
Amazingly.
How do we get that milk?
You can't really get it. You'd have to buy it for your animals.
Oh, we just found the loophole, baby.
I didn't say that.
Right.
Okay. My wife's cat drinks a lot of milk, and her dog, too, also a lot of milk.
So you need
it's
that.
Good for them.
I need a lot
Is
of milk.
Is it cheaper than like get it, like a gallon of milk? If someone's to buy a gallon of milk for their animals or a gallon of milk at the grocery store, it's got to be cheaper at the farm. Or is it not.
Just by donation, really.
Well, what is
you can't be donating.
A donation?
We're not actually allowed to sell milk for human consumption.
So basically, what she's saying...
FDA, that's it.
Yeah.
So basically what she's saying is, if you don't know someone who is a dairy farmer, you're not getting straight out the cow milk.
So why, if it doesn't bother you, why do we do all that?
Because...
just for transportation and storage reasons?
They sell it.
Oh,
well,
here comes
Dean
Patrick
Foods.
To tell us everything. What is it, Patrick?
What?
Do you want to know, or are you going to mock me?
We're not going to mock you. Patrick.
Both.
Let's check the Google.
The reason you pasteurize milk is because it can hurt you. There's bacteria can grow in it if you don't, you know.
Hair can hurt you.
Well, guns can hurt you.
If you don't cool it down right, yeah, it can hurt you because of the bacteria and stuff.
Well, just don't do that. I mean, are we going to ban, you know...
everything?
Yeah.
Yes.
She said,
sticks?
Because everything's banned. People used to die from drinking bad milk. Well, and now they don't.
And now they're all lactose intolerant.
I don't disagree with that.
Knowledge was just dropped. Knowledge was dropped.
Now we have to listen to...
It's not just milk. They do it to juice. They do it to...
everything.
All kind of stuff.
I thought he said they do it to Jews.
No, I didn't say anything close to that.
Everybody's always picking on the apple juice.
Dude, that might be my Halloween costume. How would I go as apple
that's
juice?
That's the problem. The problem with Halloween now is everything, no matter what you wear, is going to be offensive to someone. I mean, if you dress up as a zombie, you're offended to somebody who just lost a family member. If you dress up as an apple juice, you've just offended
apple juice.
A whole... Yes, you have just offended everyone. So, I mean,
that's pretty great,
that.
Though. Apple juice is great. If I walked in, I'm not sure how to do that.
How it would look.
And I don't want to even go that way because someone will.
Yeah, see, you're going to offend. Yeah. You can't do it. That's the problem with Halloween now. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I think they tried to get away from that for a while because, like, they turned everything, especially for ladies, they turned everything sexy this, sexy that, you know? And what happened is now that's even offensive. So you can't be sexy, you can't be funny, because funny is going to offend someone. You can't do anything anymore. You go scary, and then you're going to scare kids. I mean, you're doing it wrong no matter how you do Halloween this year.
Hey, isn't there a thing, I've seen it sold, so there is a thing, where they sell milk that has not been high temp pasteurized. It's a lower temperature, and it still has that milk fat on top. And you still have to shake it. They have it here in town. I've seen it.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard of that.
They sell it in... Hatcher has it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
Is
yeah,
it
yeah.
a actual farm that's doing it themselves?
Yeah, it's
okay,
a farm that does it themselves.
Then my dad actually visited a couple farms, and one of them had, like, all different flavors of milk.
Did you guys ever think about maybe doing that yourselves?
We have, but you have to jump through so many freaking hoops to do it. And
bureaucracy
just...
getting in the way? What?
You have to jump through so many hoops, like we already are now, because we are a small farm. And so most of the small farms around me they've died off in the past, like, my lifetime.
Really?
So, because we don't get paid enough for the milk. So,
why don't they just raise the price of milk? I mean, like, what I'm saying is, why don't you guys bring the price up? I mean, I'm not saying that because we drink a lot of milk at my house, and this would actually affect me negatively. But I'm thinking, if you guys can't make enough money to subsist and survive on the milk, then you need to bring the price up. And
well,
obviously,
it's not our choice. It's Dean Foods who we sell to.
But still, I mean, the. I would think that they would bring their price up so that they don't take the hit as well, and you would just see a supply and demand kind of thing. It's natural.
Well,
that's the way it works.
They do up the price, but then they lower it for us.
Yeah, they get
so
on
the middleman is making the money.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so it pays to be the middleman.
What? Give us the flavors of the milk that are out on the market level. We'll tell you if we would drink it or not.
I don't even know what there was. One was orange creamsicle. My mom said, that
"Yeah,
really
we drink
good.
That.
I would drink orange creamsicle."
I think they had, like, probably peanut butter.
Oh yeah,
Peanut butter.
But you can't do that because that's offensive to somebody. They might actually have a peanut allergy.
Peanut butter milk sounds
pretty
good.
I'm not sure. She said there was a whole list of them.
Peanut butter milk
is great. I didn't go visit it.
I have.
They went to. I get on a business trip to go.
What? Okay. How about chocolate mint milk?
Bet you it's been done.
It's called ice cream. All these flavors
yeah,
you're throwing
out
there.
Yeah, just melt it and stick it in a cup.
That's what I'm saying. All these things you're saying, I've had as ice cream.
Can you guys, do you guys do ice cream?
Oh, please say yes.
We actually have not made ice cream.
You what?
We haven't.
Oh.
At least for a long time, since I can remember.
Do you guys make it at home? Like with the little old-fashioned like thing where you put the salt in and all that?
And then crank.
The ice cream maker machine?
We haven't because... My mom would say, I'm too busy to do that, so.
Well, that's why they have kids. You make it a game. That's what my parents did with us. We would make the ice cream, and it was like we all fought for a turn to turn the little thingy, you know?
Well, she is busy. She takes care of all the book work, like, for the farm and everything like that. And then my dad, he does most of the feeding and talking to different companies we're getting things from on the phone. And my brothers, they feed. And clean barn, and I feed clean barn, milk cows. So,
I do think they should do more flavored milks. Like, I know we were just talking about it, and we've kind of moved on, but I really think, like, you know, because I love chocolate milk, I like strawberry milk, I like all the different things. Why not have peanut butter flavored milk? Why not have coconut milk? Or have a milk with banana, and it would taste like the banana splits.
Mm-hmm.
You do like a little cherry milk and things like that. Why not?
Randy says peppermint milk would be good. Kind of a holiday thing? Peppermint
milk?
Yeah,
that'd be more like a holiday thing.
Peppermint's okay. Spearmint is not acceptable.
Spearmint's
the worst.
You guys remember getting the strawberry Nesquik mix?
Yes.
It came in that can.
The powder or the
powder.
Yeah,
now, the powder.
Yeah, the powder.
And you had to pry it off. You know, they had the little...
You open
in the
it
middle.
Like a paint can.
Yeah.
Like a paint can. And then you just go, wow, this is pretty good. And like tell you like that use two spoons or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's a good, we can do six. and then you're just like, this is so
sometimes
great.
Six wasn't enough.
Not
and then
me.
You drink it, and at the bottom it's got the pink you know, sludge of the stuff.
The unmixed, the undissolved sugar crystals. Look,
like
man.
When you used to eat Rice Krispies and you poured so much sugar in there that you just went down to the bottom.
You mean used to eat? It's like, you mean this morning?
You put sugar in your Rice Krispies? You sprinkle it
too.
On top?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it's great.
As a kid, I used to dump it and watch where my mom was. And then I'd be like, oh. And then make sure it goes to the bottom so then I can eat all the sugar with the milk after.
I would do, you know, you were talking about the...
Sugar milk. That's another flavor.
That is a flavor, actually. They have a flavor, I've seen it, like it's cereal milk. And that's actually a thing where it's like milk and it tastes like the leftover Fruity Pebbles stuff.
Huh.
Ugh. But yeah, no, dude, don't. Ugh, that's the best. shredded wheat also has great milk. I don't know what they put as their glaze, but that stuff is like crack. I'm like, ooh, I just want more shredded milk or shredded wheat so I can drink the milk.
That's weird.
I completely forgot. I had something I was about to say, and then I got sidetracked with that. Because it's so devilishly good.
Have you guys seen the bowls where it's a cereal bowl, but it has a straw that comes out that's connected to the bottom so that you can suck the milk out of the bowl just
Why?
By holding.
I remember
you can,
those.
That's so civilized.
I mean,
fun is to actually, you know, hold the bowl up over your face and, you know, it's coming out on the sides and all over your clothes. It's the best. Straw.
Somebody asked me if where they can get Big D and Bubba stickers, and I'm telling them they're available on.
If you go to our website, you will find the little store.
Yeah.
Button.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to.
And also candles. We sell candles. You like it? Smell good in here.
Yes.
I didn't make those two. See what you think of this one right here. This is not lit.
The store button is right under, if you're on the desktop, it's right under my picture.
See if you like that. I think that is tobacco. I think that's it.
Yeah, it smells pretty good.
And then this one here in the little container is basement smell.
Which is horrible.
It's right, it's in the little tin.
Yeah. Just take a big strong
open
whiff
that up.
Of that.
Okay, I made it as a joke, but smell it. Open it up and smell it. First whiff is the best. Go. Yeah, it's good, huh?
It's like moldy. And
it does. It smells like one of those old basements.
I didn't know. Like, we had a Big D wasn't here yet, and I went to light the candles because that's what we do. Like, whoever's here first sets the mood, you know? And I couldn't find the candle, so I grabbed that, and it's not labeled. So I lit it, and Big D walks in. He's like, What is that smell? I'm like, I don't know. I have a candle going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the basement candle.
Yeah. You know, Darius asked me to make him a candle, and I was just like, I don't know if he's joking. You know, I can't. Hey, Patrick, was he joking? Oh, he's not even listening.
I don't think he was joking.
When
at
Darius
all.
Asked me to make him a candle, did he seem like he was joking to you?
Nope, not at all.
What kind did he say he wanted?
A mandel?
No, he said something.
I can't remember what it was now.
He said something really obvious, like he likes cinnamon or something like that.
Oh, cinnamon?
That's milk. Said something else.
Cinnamon milk.
Cinnamon milk would be good.
Yes. No, cinnamon sugar not. Milk. You can't go, and that's the one misconception with people when they put cinnamon in drinks. You don't put cinnamon like by itself. You put cinnamon sugar in, and that's how it's good. Cinnamon by itself is not good.
Yeah. Okay, well. No, that's kind of. I thought it was something more adventurous than cinnamon.
Banana milk. I'm still down with that. Banana milk. Oh, you were talking about your Rice Krispies. You throw in little slices of banana. You just slice them up and throw that in, and then you put the sugar on like a glaze.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Bananas and Rice Krispies is good. Right. Now, how do you make your Rice Krispie treats?
Marshmallows, butter, and Rice Krispies.
Oh, that's it? You don't add anything?
Not really.
I don't even know how.
Oh, man, it's super easy. You just melt butter and marshmallows on low heat.
I would never get past the marshmallow part.
It's tough, man.
I would
eat them all. Once it gets into that malty kind of real...
The paste.
Yeah, that real... Man, that's hard not to just spoon that up, man. That stuff's so good. Marshmallows are great. However, s'mores around a campfire suck.
What?
S'mores
you
is
are a,
stupid.
You're an insane human being.
No, it's the idea is
Are you American?
Romantic.
Are you American?
Telling you guys, guys, you're brainwashed.
No.
It got to you.
No.
But yes,
no.
Propaganda
no.
works.
No.
And
hey, if you love s'mores at a campfire and you're watching on the live feed on Facebook, please
of
hit
course.
The like button a whole
yeah,
bunch, like
of
like
course.
And love
of
and go
course.
Crazy. Show this man that he's nuts.
S'mores are, it's a great idea, but when
you're
the
insane.
Actual, it's not great. It's just not. If now this is what I'm thinking of s'mores, where you have a marshmallow that you get, you know,
you're
in the fire.
You're missing all the little like bubbles everywhere.
Okay. You get the marshmallow going and it softens up, and then you put a piece of, what's the cracker? The
graham cracker?
Graham cracker. And then you put a chocolate and like Hershey's, you know, the little bars or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you put the thing on top of it, and then you put the graham cracker on top of it. Right? Is that the way you guys have it in your head?
Yes.
Okay, that sucks.
You're
because
insane.
That whole thing, the idea, again, sounds great, but it's you bite into it. First off, the chocolate isn't really melty. Okay,
you're
at
doing
all.
It wrong.
Well, how else do you do it?
Okay, first of all, whenever you're doing the s'mores, you want to make sure that you have to catch your marshmallow on fire. If your marshmallow doesn't catch on fire, it's not going to be hot enough. So what you do is...
I don't like it charred.
But you're missing out. That's the way it's supposed to be. The reason you don't
Thus,
like it charred.
It sucks.
No, it sucks to you because you're not American. you want to char your marshmallow and then immediately smash it in there with the chocolate and then just give it a couple seconds. You don't bite right away because if you do, your chocolate's still solid.
And you're putting the graham cracker on top of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Under and top.
Yeah, I actually hold the graham. I'm hard to demonstrate this because I'm holding a banana. You hold your graham cracker there and you've already got your chocolate on there.
It's sitting
and
on
I
it.
I take the other graham cracker and I'm holding it like Whoa. An open clam, like an oyster. And I put the thing in and I just squeeze it in together and I pull it off the stick straight out of the fire. It's
okay, now how?
Still.
Okay, you know how graham crackers come in like they're like perforated.
Yeah, I break them. I break them into ones.
So like little small like Ritz cracker
like
size,
smaller ones. Yeah, because that
and
way
then
you
your
can
chocolate is
one
the
square
same
of the Hershey bar too as well.
Yeah. It's
you're,
not
you're crazy, dude.
I don't mind the marshmallow. I can have two or three of those until I get sick, but the chocolate, it's I don't like chocolate really.
Oh, honestly. People right now are going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, you're insane, dude.
What's really good is if you use a Reese instead.
A lot of people are saying peanut butter as well.
And a Reese's cup.
Yeah, use a Reese's cup.
But it still is not, I'm telling you guys, it's still not hot enough to melt it.
If you're patient and you sit there and actually turn it real slow and get it to actually puff up and get hot enough, then.
That still won't be enough heat to melt a Hershey's, Reese's.
It doesn't melt it completely.
That's exactly
right. It makes
it mushy. It gets it melty. Right, that's the word, melty.
The top gets a little mushy and that's it. And then you bite into it, and then the graham cracker, it breaks in half. Okay, it's like the Titanic. So you miss half of it, and it's like hanging. And you're like, ugh. So then you look like, Elephant Man holding it up, trying to figure it out. Oh, I got it. Oh. And it's falling all over the place.
It never happens with me, ever. Yeah. Does that happen with you, Melinda?
They're messy, yeah. You get marshmallow all
on your
hands,
finger, but it doesn't fall
off. That's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's people agreeing with you. This is crazy. I'm reading some of these things. Some are going propaganda.
Yeah.
No to s'mores.
Yeah.
S'mores are nasty. I end up eating all the chocolate instead. Crystal says it's gross. I mean, you.
It is. It is one of those. It's like.
But there's more with us. Just letting you know.
Well, yeah, that's with anything where, lemmings will always outnumber.
No, it's not lemmings. It's not lemmings. It's Americans, baby.
Okay.
People right. like me.
Yeah, let's
people
do that.
People like her.
Yeah, let's call me un-American because I don't like something. Yeah, that's
you
good.
You did visit Russia once.
Yeah, I did. And it was awful. Russia is terrible. It's exactly what you think it is. Well, then it was. Before the communists, before your time, but it used to be communists. It still is. But before when it was the Soviet Union and not Russia.
Before the KGB controlled it openly.
It was unbelievably.
Or when they did it.
Oh my God. It was, it was, even when it was sunny, it seemed like it was cloudy. The everything's brown or gray. It's very institutional. It's like walking, it's like one giant, you know how it is when you go into the post office and how, ugh, it's like a whole country of that. Everything. It's all like that. There's rule
utilitarian.
Posted, very, very. Utilitarian is a great word. Everything's gray, brown, people aren't happy, there's lines. It's exactly like the post office, but it's a country.
Yeah,
now it's changed and it's a lot different, but I can't imagine that. And it's
Patrick decided to join us.
I spent a lot of time. Oh, gosh.
We're like, whatever the allergy thing that's been going around, we have had it for like 2 weeks now. And like on the radio, you don't
shot
hear
of
it. But
your...
as soon as like the song is over,
alcohol.
We're like, we turn the microphones off. We're like, we're dying in here.
Take your shot. Go get you a shot. It'll kill all that stuff.
You got an extra
You're making everyone else cough. Melinda's already coughing.
I actually have had the same thing for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then I had a cold before that. A cold before that.
All right. What were you going to say? You spent many. You spent many night alone.
I've been to Germany a bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
It was always in what was the western part of Germany. A few years ago, in 2014, we took a train trip to Leipzig, which was in
Leipzig, Germany.
Leipzig, which was in the eastern part of Germany. Yeah. I'd never been across what used to be
the
old GDR, the Russian controlled, the communist part of the country.
Yeah.
Even 25 years after the wall fell.
Yep.
As soon as we got into that side of the country, it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked gloomy.
It's weird.
Germany is a beautiful, bright, it's a rich, vibrant country. And like I said, it was shocking. All of a sudden, we were in this place, and everyone looked really kind
unhappy.
Of unhappy, and the buildings were kind of glum, and it was just weird. And the people were totally different.
Totally.
And that's 25 years later. There's that old Soviet kind of,
It's awful.
So, hey, people, guess what? Socialism is not your friend.
And I had a friend of mine who went into Cuba this year when it was, remember, you can go and now you can't. But and he said it's the same way. He said,
but it's colorful.
He said it's
Cuba's
depressing.
Pretty, though. But it's pretty. Impressive. Like the country itself is pretty.
Yeah. And I've never seen the whole why they drive our old cars.
Because
they don't get new ones.
We said we stopped selling them to them. We said, nope, sorry, done.
Oh, part of the old embargo.
Yeah.
Kennedy said, take that.
Yeah. After he bought
the old finger,
1,000 Cuban cigars, then he banned them.
Did he buy 1,000?
Yeah.
Like
he sent his personal aide out to buy. That's one of those old stories. I've never looked it up, but I just know that it's true. Marty sent his personal aide out on the day of to buy like 1,000 Cuban cigars that are the specific type that was his favorite. And then as soon as he had them, he signed the executive order banning.
That's
it.
Not true. No mm-hmm. politician in the world would ever do anything
oh, no!
so one-sided.
Self-serving?
Yes, no.
So, yeah, no.
Crazy.
Telling you, that's how it went.
God, one day, whenever that guy dies, we'll tell that story.
Whenever what guy dies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, we won't. Yeah. No, we won't.
Yeah, we will. What's he going to do?
Man, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, you
can't. Know, that's the problem.
We got a little bit of dirt.
That's the problem is that no one says anything.
It's nothing bad. It's nothing that hurt anybody.
To this day, here's the... I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it because it's sad.
Just remember that when politicians make a promise to you, they're really just making a promise to tell you what you want to hear.
I'm telling you what. Because that day, my whole world changed. I'm not kidding. It really did.
What they do is different than what they say.
And I think that the person sitting behind the desk was pulling a prank on both of you.
No.
Yep.
No.
I think he had somebody. You don't think it would have been easy for him? Pick a politician they've heard of.
Dude, yep. No one had heard of him.
Yeah.
No.
Because he ran for president
that
year.
No.
I'm
telling you, no one knew him.
4 or 5 years before, neither one of us knew him except for some of the things that he was saying in front of Congress that were going on. But he wasn't a presidential candidate for like 4 or 5 years later.
Nope. No, because I know what year it was.
Okay.
And he ran for president year.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. All politicians tell the truth. All
for the record, everyone runs for, there's like 90 people that run for president, but he was one
I
of
was
the
there. Bubba was there. And one other person was there.
I know. And I'm
and
just saying,
that was it.
I've always
and
felt like that was put, that was a show put on for your benefit. No, but I've heard this story 100 times.
But you don't know that other guy very well.
That other guy doesn't need to put on a show.
At all.
He doesn't.
And you know what?
That's not even his. For y'all was put on a show.
No. God, that was not even in his personality.
I wish we could tell this story. Melinda, you have no idea how great this story will be one day. But yeah, it's one of those things where this guy didn't need to grandstand to show us how big of a wig he was. I mean, this guy was a big wig. I mean, we went and played golf with him at a country club.
Right, I know, grandstanding.
At a country, that was kind of cool. We went and played a golf club with him, played golf with him at a place that only has, 100 members or 12 members or something crazy.
You're right,
crazy.
He never did anything to try to impress you and
that
wow you.
That was crazy. Like, we each got our own caddy who would run down.
But how would that impress us? How would
it shows
him
you how powerful he was. That a senator would call
that he,
him.
No,
oh, I said
no.
a senator.
That he
would
have
him
to bow to a senator.
Yeah, and that's true. He did. He did
it's
exactly
the opposite.
What the senator said.
It's the opposite. It made him look weak. It did not make him look strong.
He just said, boys, that's how it's run.
It made him look rich and powerful.
It did not. It made him look rich because he had money to throw at this guy for what he thought was a reason.
There was a reason for his benefit later.
I'm sorry. Do you not think that goes on, Patrick?
I think it does. I just
don't
think
you watch
I've always
House
thought
of Cards?
That story was too convenient. I just do. Dude. I just think it was just put on, like I said.
Okay.
I've kept that in for 15 years. You know.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I mean, there's no need to keep it in. I mean, you can.
I've always felt like that was set up, It would be easy. You didn't know what he sounded like. I could have easily got somebody to say he was.
Again.
XYZ.
You're crazy.
I don't know. Maybe it was, but it was, Everything.
I will go to my deathbed believing that it was real and it happened
and
because
maybe it
I was there.
I was there too, and I believed it too.
You were also 26 and 27, with no. I mean, in the office of a guy who was the one of the biggest bosses in the whole industry. Who was?
We'll just leave it. Wait, let's just stop. Let's move on to something else, because we're going to agree to disagree. And the other thing is, Big D is easily swayed. You're going to have him convinced within 2 minutes.
Maybe
that, you know,
maybe that didn't happen.
See,
I mean, see. But I'm just putting a little doubt in it because it's.
I have no doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
There is a documentary on Netflix that you guys need to watch.
Oh God.
What is it
now?
What is it this week?
What is it this week?
It's tiny homes. Totally... We all need to downsize.
Yes, that's why we're unhappy. It's because our homes are too big.
It is. We all need to downsize.
My favorite thing, like, I love watching
the parts of the
tiny...
house I don't even go to. I'm not joking. And it's not that I live in a huge house, but there are parts where I haven't been, and there are certain parts of my house I haven't been in 6 months. 6 months.
Every time my father comes over to visit, he'll find something on the side of my house or something, and he'll be like, "Did you know there's an anthill on the side of your..." No, you know why? Because I never go on that side of the house.
Right. When's the last time you've been on the far back side of your house?
Even still, yeah.
When's the last time you've been in your attic?
I go into every room of my house.
Let me see. Last year when I put the Christmas tree back in the attic, because it's a fake one. That's the last time I went.
Yeah, but the attic is storage. You're not supposed to go there on a regular basis.
Dude, there's parts of my garage I haven't been to because they're on the wrong. They're too far into the corner.
It's got too much crap in the way. I have that problem.
I just think that we would be a lot happier if everything was simplified.
I do believe we have too much stuff. People would be happier if we all lived on farms and didn't have, you know, technology.
Melinda, are you happy?
Yeah.
She lives on a farm.
You know that,
but we're not going to do it.
She drinks milk straight from the teat.
Well, and I wait till it goes through the filter and gets cooled, but
that's probably okay most of the time.
She drinks filtered teat milk.
Teat milk.
Milk. I like milk. Milk is good.
Patrick, do you like milk?
I can't even pretend that that's okay what you're saying.
What's your favorite? If you had the choice between drinking a glass of white milk or chocolate milk, which would you choose?
If you start meowing.
I think it's great saying milk. Milk. If everyone today, milk, for the next 24 hours, try and say milk, and don't act like you're saying it wrong.
Just say it right.
Very confidently say
milk. Very confident
milk.
Without laughing.
It's hard and to say, actually.
Can you say it? Milk?
Milk.
See?
Milk.
Yeah, can
milk.
I take your order? Yeah. Can I get a venti quad ice latte with whole milk?
See, it's hard to do. You almost messed it up.
I know.
With whole milk.
You got to work it. You got to practice in your car.
I would like an iced Americano with about an inch of milk.
I'm going
I want 2% milk.
You just can't say it without smiling.
It's really
hard. Guys, you got to work. I'm telling you, you're going to screw it up.
I want the skim milk.
Oh, skim is
skim
a good
milk is harder to say because then you got an extra M.
And by the way, skim milk is the worst milk ever on planet Earth. That is, you might as well just be drinking colored water.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's like cow pee.
Pee.
And you know this how?
Do cows pee? Is it white?
No.
It's still pee.
It's like us. Say it yellow.
Oh. Same color. I'm kidding, of course.
So it's really not fun to get pissed on when you're working more in the morning.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think they know?
You run away.
I'm going to say this right now then. I love our jobs because cows don't pee on us.
When you're when you're milking the cow, will it just poop on you sometimes? Really?
Oh, man.
Which manure to me is just like walking in mud. Like it, I've been around it for so long, it doesn't bother me.
I know
what they eat. Like,
do you even smell it? Does it stink much, do you know?
Depends on what the feed ratio is. If their feed gets changed, sometimes it'll smell really bad, but or if they're sick. But other than that, it just kind of smells the same.
Now, when a cow has to poop, will it stop? Or will it just keep walking and just let
it roll?
Oh, they'll
keep walking.
Look at that.
Stop, walk, whatever.
I don't care.
I would love to go on Naked and Afraid. Do you know that show Naked and Afraid where they put you out in the middle of the woods? I would love to do that because I would love to be able to freely try some of those things. Like, you know, like you see a lion and they're peeing while they're walking. I'm like, I want to be able to do that.
You can do that outside.
I have too many cameras at my house. There's not an area of my yard that isn't covered.
They're not going to pick anything up.
I'm just saying. Oh, thank you. But I would like to be able to walk and just see if it's because that cave people had to do it that way. Right? Wouldn't you think?
No, I feel like they probably still stood still and peed.
I don't think they walked.
Because that's just a natural thing.
Because you're walking into it. You can't. You're projecting something out, and then you're walking into it.
What if you walk backwards?
Well, that's an absolute. That's an absolute.
You're still throwing. Think about this though. When you're walking backwards,
stuff's going. I know.
Throwing your legs.
Stuff's going around. I know. I know.
It's a close one, man. It's a real close call. But you would pee.
Do girls pee and walk at the same time?
Oh, sorry.
It's a very male conversation.
No.
I'm like, well, I don't know. I've never tried to walk.
Naked and Afraid. I want to be on that show.
Let's talk more about milk.
Milk?
I want to. Laura Jersey
says,
cows?
Thanks to my brother's milk breath as a kid, I can't stomach milk.
Milk breath?
She wrote that, yeah. Her brother had milk breath.
Like a baby?
I guess. I don't know. I'm just reading what she wrote. Milk breath.
Meal.
She also says, I'm dying because we're talking about peeing and walking.
It's amazing to me that anyone actually listens to this podcast.
No one.
I know. You know what? You're right. No one does.
So if we have 17 listeners to the show, what do we have, two for the podcast?
Seven. We have seven people, and they don't listen to the whole thing.
No,
We get to where we just keep saying milk over and over again, and they go, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Right now, someone's sitting on the pot going, what am I doing?
God's name is going on.
Yeah. I can. What's on Instagram? I haven't looked at Twitter in a while. What's on that?
Yeah,
I don't like Twitter anymore.
I never liked it.
I love Twitter. It's just angry now.
It's way too.
Have you been on Facebook? Facebook's angry as crap. Well, I guess I filtered most of that out. I still keep a little of it around just to remind myself who's out there.
Do you guys find angry if you see something on Facebook that you don't agree with, someone that you and they're like, whatever it is, okay, and you don't agree with it, and you're like, what? Do you
write them
unfriend
off,
them, or do you go, you know what? I'm not going to be the guy who just unfriends someone because they have a different opinion.
I hide them though. I don't want to see it.
I don't.
If they post it all the time,
yeah,
but then again, I have two friends. One friend who's just militantly, you know, the opposite of my beliefs and just angry about it all the time. And I just, you know what? I like to use him as a gauge to where people like that are. You know what I mean? Like when I know, when something goes down and I know that there's a lot of people in that camp who are angry, I just go, well, let me go see what he posts. And sure enough, he's got six posts already.
And you know what the thoughts are then.
Yeah.
So like for research.
It's almost like opposition research. Yeah. I want to know what the other side is thinking.
No, that's easy. Just get on Twitter.
Sometimes I'll listen to, XM will have the Patriot channel where it's all right wing, and then they have a left wing, and then they have, like, the Al Sharpton channel or whatever it is.
They do.
The Urban News.
Yes.
Or talk. Wow. Listen to all that stuff. Listen to something different than what you believe in for a while.
Or get out of your circle.
Holy cow, that's crazy. Yeah.
You got to be careful because you're easily swayed. We don't need you,
I am.
Documentary guy, listening to the Al Sharpton channel.
It's true.
Because God knows what you'll come in.
It's amazing I'm not in some
guys,
cult.
I was listening to the satellite radio all weekend to this channel called Out. And
you know what?
It made a lot of sense.
It just made a lot of sense.
You're
you know,
all in now, right?
Yeah, I'm all in.
He's all out.
Was that Darius Rucker Live?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, oh my god, it's Darius.
Wow.
I like Bubba dance like the ghost like
Darius.
Of Darius.
I did. I had to pull it out, man. It was perfect. It fit.
The stuff that you see out there that's completely opposite of what you believe in.
I do that all the time.
It is really fascinating. And it just makes you go. And I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I do. I think it's healthy to get other
Yeah, it's good to hear all the sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
don't ever vote for a politician or a party. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's true. Don't vote for a politician or party. Vote for you, what you believe in, and everything else will kind of sort itself out.
Yeah.
Sadly, though, it's when you only have two choices that it makes it really hard.
Because no one believes all or none.
Oh, there are people who believe all of
those. But
those
are the people who are like, I mean, too much for me. I can't handle that.
The extremists?
They're too that way. And I'm like, how can you believe?
Is that what you were talking about when I told you about the date I went on with the girl that was like that? Because that was, because I wasn't really paying attention. I did go on a date about 2 weeks ago with a girl who was just, she was just in love with one particular, I'll say it, it was Hillary Clinton.
And you went on a date with Hillary Clinton.
I went on a date. No. She was just.
Cute. She's
married.
And
I remember thinking, you know, I don't really care.
She's happily married.
Yeah, she is. It's just, you care too much, you know? Like, you're just way too indoctrinated in the Hillary Clinton is the greatest thing ever cult. If it was a politician on the total opposite side, if you were that totally in love with them.
If she was in love with Trump,
I would be like, whoa, that's weird. Why are you so into this?
Some people take like their politician's word as law. We've already discussed, they don't really mean what they say.
No, they don't.
Did she just talk about that the whole time?
Oh, she brought it up. And I tried to swerve it because, you know, it was a first date and you don't want to talk about politics.
Or religion.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't really like Hillary Clinton? I'm like, well, I don't dislike. I just don't care. And by the way, how's your chicken? You know, like, it's just such an unusual thing.
She ate chicken?
Yeah, she ate chicken.
Oh, a girl's always going to eat chicken on a date, I would think.
Usually, or salmon. Yeah.
Better a salad.
Salmon, or a salad. Yeah.
Like once a lot, you know what you need? You need a girl who on the first date gets ribs.
Yeah. I want to know the girl that orders the rack of ribs. That's probably
a girl who orders a burger.
Oh, yes.
Yes, one with grease that
you
rolls.
Order a cheeseburger on the first date, don't you?
I'll order whatever I want.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But when you eat a burger and it's so greasy it runs down your arm.
That's too greasy.
No, that's not too
greasy.
That's
pretty good, man.
That's good.
Yeah, because I'm a burger squisher.
I don't like burgers dry at all.
Oh, no, who does?
I don't either, but I don't want grease on my arm.
Yep. See, fair. That's fair.
I'm just dripping down both sides of your face. I'm like, that's too greasy.
You bite into it and everyone like gets wet. You
know? It just squirts out like somebody.
No one needs a squirter. Nobody likes a squirter, Calvin. Yeah.
So, thank you, Bubba, for that. That pretty much.
Thank you, Darius.
Ended that. And thank you. Melinda, thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
It was good hanging out with you.
Who knew you were coming by and we put you to work?
This isn't work.
You should call us while you're milking the cows.
Is there a better time of the day to milk cows?
We milk them 3 times a day.
Oh, my
gosh. So, 4 o'clock or 4 a.m. is the first milking. We usually get done by, 10. And then noon is the next one. And they get done by 5.
It takes 6 hours?
Sometimes less. Depends on how much milk they have that day. And morning
how,
it
how
takes longer.
How many cows are we talking about?
We milk 350.
Oh.
3 times.
Do you hook them all up at the same time?
Well, we have 12 per side. So we'll have, we put the one side on, and then while we're waiting for them to be done, we'll go and put the other side on. So you just keep going back and forth. And
you have to take them in individually?
No. You just chase them in. We have the.
You got to do that 30 times each time just to do all the cows. 30 times 12.
Well,
no wonder
it takes 6 hours.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of cow milking.
Can't you teach them to do it themselves?
Actually, we would like to get robots eventually.
I can't tell if you're
joking.
They have robots now.
They have robots that chase milk. The cows into the thing?
No, that milk them.
See, and I don't know if I like that.
What are you saying?
All they do is walk
because
in.
Because what you're saying is that you'd like to replace yourself.
Well, it wouldn't replace me. It would replace people who work for us, but...
See, and that's...
You can't find many reliable people anymore. Like, right now, we're doing really well on who we have that are... They're pretty reliable on showing up to work and everything, but over the years, we've had some hard points where...
It's a tough...
Yeah, you're asking somebody to get up early and...
And if it's snowing, you get stuck in your driveway and you can't show up, then...
Who's gonna
get called.
I mean, you're the one who's got to do the milking.
Because I'm like a mile and a half down the road. So if somebody can't come into work, then it's, hey, Melinda.
We need you to go milk.
You got to go to work.
You have to go milk them yourself. Do you, so then two more times in a day, they get milked. Wow. That's a lot of milk, right?
Yeah, actually, we ship right now over 40,000 pounds every other day.
Of what?
You do pounds and not gallons? I would have thought
they do it by pounds. That's how they
I don't understand. Pounds of what?
Pounds of milk.
Of what?
Of milk.
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 Milk. Yeah. Sorry. I was saying it wrong.
Thank you.
So why do you do everything as pounds and then they sell it to us as gallons? Why wouldn't we just go buy a pound of milk?
I have not a clue.
Good point. Good point.
I think we've got a conspiracy here. Somebody is shorting somebody because I think in a gallon, how many pounds is a gallon?
Between 7 and 8
pounds?
Yeah.
Okay. So like a pound would be like a pint. Nobody wants to buy it by the pound then. Okay, the gallon works.
That's like buying meat by the pound. I guess it's just the price wise, how they price it out.
You go get a gallon of meat.
Now, can you slaughter your cows after they're done and eat their meat?
Yeah. We send them in and get them processed. And
dairy cows are good like that?
That's what I've always had. And then I try, like, we had one beef cow. We did dairy / beef. And it tasted different. It wasn't as, I don't know. It just tasted a little bit.
Milky?
It tasted different than what I'm normally used to, so... But yeah, we can kill them, eat them.
I want to go hang out at your work one day. I think it'd be great. Patrick, that's what we'll do. We'll send you out to go milk the cows.
I'm not milking cows.
Patrick, milking them up.
It's all you, bro. You want to milk cows?
I would totally
do it. He just doesn't
it.
Want to get pissed on.
I'm not milking any cows.
I think it'd be fun.
I want to go help you.
No, it'd be fun. I spent a lot of time in my childhood on a dairy farm. I don't want to go back.
One 6-hour shift.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you use them?
Yeah, my two older brothers, my older half-brothers, their dad, they lived on a dairy farm.
So they would milk cows?
They all milk cows.
How many times just...
Any desire to be...
How many times just by accident did they try and milk you? You're swimming and you're at the
all right, very funny. Pool. I get it. I'm fat and I have man boobs.
Get hooked
you're
up.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. What is the sound the machine makes? Because like Big D's sound effect was great, but I'm like, is that accurate?
I don't know.
No.
Great question.
Not really. You can't hear.
Is there a kind of a? I have a like a slurpy suction sound as it makes connection.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of.
That sounded really good.
That's pretty accurate.
So your imagination paid off.
Wow,
it's like a Foley artist. That's.
Is Darius laughing going to be with us? Is that?
Oh,
is that
yeah, he's gold, man.
Hey, we got to get Bubba. Him, and we ought to get Randy Houser, and we ought to just have him, you know,
a rap battle.
Take turns laughing.
battle.
At our jokes.
If you could do the sound effect of a car, of an axle, you would be, what would you be? You'd be Axel Foley.
Wow. Six people got that joke, and even they thought it was bad. All right.
That
Are we
may
done?
Be the worst.
Hey, that, real is that quick, how we're
Melinda,
done?
Melinda, I want you to make the sound
sorry.
Of a... What does a laser sound like? Give us the sound effect of a laser.
Jew. I don't know.
Did you just say Jew? Why is everyone saying Jew today?
I don't know.
Gentiles.
That was not meant to sound...
What? Okay, we'll give you take two. I'm sorry. There's the one thing funny to me
is listening to you're gonna get.
Listening to my wife make the okay. Well, no, show me what a sound effect of a machine gun sounds like. Like because little boys we grow up making sound effects. That's what we do. Okay, give me a helicopter sound. You know you have all that kind of stuff. One more time. Let's do it. Melinda with her laser beam.
I like the first one better. Jew.
Pew, pew, pew. It's the pew, pew life, man.
Jew. Thank you, Melinda. It's good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Yep.
All right, real quick, I do want to say thank you to Audible. They make getting more books in your life super, super easy. And what's not to love about that? They've got an unbeatable selection of audiobooks that you're going to absolutely just love. It'll transform your commute. You know, whenever you're driving back to the dairy farm, you're going to be driving. You'll be like, if you're not listening to our podcast, a good audiobook would work perfect. Matter of fact, you can actually get podcasts on Audible, which is kind of cool too. Right now you can start a 30-day trial with your first audiobook being free. Just go to audible.com/bubba, and Audible has an outstanding collection, like we just said, of podcasts, news, comedy, short stories, originals, exclusive originals, and it's all there. Again, 30-day trial for free. First audiobook free. Get that right now. Audible.com/Bubba, and you can get hooked up. Right, Darius? Hang on. The songwriter spotlight from Jim Collins is coming up right after the song.
Just milking it for all it's worth, aren't you?
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio
every day.
It was the podcast.
One of our favorite things on the show is called the Songwriter Spotlight. It's, you know, we do the interviews where we bring in the country stars and they can tell their version of the stories, but it's never the same as the person who actually wrote the songs that they sing. And it's fascinating to us to get the songwriter's takes on songs, because really and truly in country music, we can talk about all the booty shaking and the who's the best guitarist and who's this and who's that, but really and truly, it's all about the song, and that's what it always comes back to with us. And Jim Collins is in studio with us today, and he is, well, he's a songwriter, a really good one. He's written a bunch of songs you probably love. What was your first hit?
It was 20 years ago. John Michael Montgomery, Love Working on You.
Wow. And then you had Yes by Chad Brock.
Yeah.
Kenny
yeah.
Chesney, there's some couple songs from him. Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, and some song about tractors.
Yeah,
that people like.
I think that's a good place to start. That because that was a huge hit for Kenny. That was like a career changing song.
That was the point where he went from being country boy Kenny Chesney to he kicked into the island boy mode because he could afford it.
Yeah, he could afford. I bought him an island.
You did.
I can't. You know, but I can't even get John Deere to give me a ball cap, much less.
But that song, you told me once, that was written as a joke.
Well, I mean, I never dreamed anybody would ever record it. It was just a fun idea. At Paul Overstreet, I wrote the song with Paul Overstreet. We were neighbors. He was telling a story one day about how his tractor broke down, and he had to go buy a part to his tractor. And his wife asked if she could ride along with him, and he said, sure. And he said, I don't know what got into her. I really don't, because all the way to the tractor's place, she started kissing on my neck. I almost wrecked my truck. And I said, well, she must have thought your tractor was sexy. And we laughed, and I think he said, man, that's a song. And so
who has that thought? That's a song?
That's a song. Hey, when you're a songwriter, pretty much everything you hear is a song.
Somebody sneezes. That's a song.
And, I was a big Dennis Lindy fan, and he was this wacky songwriter who wrote Goodbye Earl. He wrote Hunk of Burning Love for Elvis. He had John Deere Green and Queen of My Double Wide Trailer. The thing about him, all the songs he had were real unique titles that nobody else had written. And that song, to me, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy, because there was no tractor songs before this one. And so we wrote it. For fun, it was late at night. We wrote it in about 45 minutes, and I never dreamed anybody would ever hear it. We were just having fun, and the next couple of days, Paul had a pitch meeting at the RCA playing songs for Kenny, and he said he played him 4, 5, 6 songs, and he passed on all of them, and he was about to leave, and he said, well, I got this one more. And he played him that.
He pulled out the joke song.
They lit up, and Kenny cut it, and you know the rest is history. I didn't know how big that song was, man.
That's so great. Can you give us a little bit of what Kenny heard that first time?
Yeah, it's like plowing these fields in the hot summer sun, over by the Gaylord, and here she come with a basket full of chicken and a big cold jug of sweet tea. Make a little room and she climbs on up. I open up the throttle and stir a little dust. look at her face. She ain't fooling me. She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring at me while I'm chugging along. She likes the way it's pulling while it's tilling up the land. She's even kind of crazy about my farmer's tan. She's the only one who really understands what gets me. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
The song that launched 1,000 ships. Literally, a bunch. All of Kenny Chesney's fleet, his armada.
Oh, God. So I saw you do a show where you were saying you would call your dad and tell him every time you got a big cut, and then it was always like, there was always like a twist.
Well, my dad, he owned a machine shop, and so music is a completely different world for him. And so I'd call my dad up, and I'd say, Dad, I just had a big number one song on whoever it was. And he'd go, well, that's good, Jim. He says, has George Strait ever cut any of your songs? And
so you're not
I'm from Texas, you know.
And but you're not good enough until George Strait
well,
cuts
I'd
your
say,
song.
Well, and I'd say, no, sir. And he said, well, keep trying. Keep trying. So flash forward about 15 years into writing songs in Nashville, and I finally got a George Strait cut. And I called my dad, and I said, Dad, I finally got a George Strait cut. And he goes, oh, that's good, son. He says, has Alan Jackson ever recorded any of your songs?
So, man.
You know what? You have goals now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we have the same dad.
He keeps me thinking. He really does. He kept me working hard, you know. But getting a George Strait song was a huge one.
And that George Strait song went number one.
Went 4 weeks at number one, and it was his 56th number one song.
Wow. Can we hear a little bit of that?
Yeah. It's funny how I wrote this song with Marv Green. And we didn't have an idea that day, and I just had this little groove I was playing. And Marv, he went, sunshine. And I went, clouds rain, train whistles blow, and guitars play. Preachers preach, farmers plow. Wishes go up and the world goes round. And I love you. It just comes natural. It just comes natural. Seasons change, rivers wind, tumbleweeds roll, and old stars shine. When hell dawn breaks, cowboys ride and time slips away. And I love you. It just comes natural. It's what I was born to do. Don't have to think it through, baby. It's so easy loving you. Just comes natural. And people have asked me, they said, you know, it's naturally, right? They said, you know, just naturally. And I said, well, it didn't phrase naturally. So, and if you're a country boy from East Texas, like I'm from, we say natural.
Yeah, and listen, if George Strait sings it, it's right.
Yeah, it just comes natural.
That's it.
Wow.
So, anyway.
That's got to be a huge thrill to have George Strait cut a song. And then to have it go, I mean, you had number one hits.
Yeah,
before
but did
that,
Alan
but
Jackson
then,
ever cut one of your songs?
Yeah, actually he did eventually.
Oh, yeah,
cool. Eventually. So, you know, I'm like, come on, Dad, what else you got? Bring it on, man.
So you got to tell your story about you meeting Garth. You told me off the air. This is fantastic, though.
Well, it's just me being a cocky young kid, I guess. But I was at the Pancake Pantry eating breakfast by myself, and Garth walked in with then what was Sandy, which was his ex-wife at the time, and now Garth is like a mega superstar, and so you couldn't help notice when he came in, but he sat in at the table behind me, so I didn't want to, you know, make a scene about it, so I just kind of kept eating my pancakes.
This is before everybody was snapping, you know, selfies with them with
Garth
in the background.
In Nashville, you know, their people are used to seeing celebrities, and so they kind of just leave him alone, so he was there. Anyway, I felt somebody tap me on the shoulder. And I turned around, and it's Garth Brooks. And he goes, excuse me. He says, is your name Jim Collins? And I went, yes, sir, it is. And he goes, man, I used to come hear your band play down in Texas. He said, you guys were amazing. And I said, well, thank you, man. And your name is, you know, and he just kind of stood there real quick. And, you know, and then I started laughing, and he realized I was having fun
with
him. That's
so great, man.
But I couldn't resist.
And you know what? He'll never forget that.
Well, he probably has.
No, he's got that crazy memory.
I tell you what's weird. I had an office for 12 years, and his manager owned the building. And I was talking to working with a young artist recently. She was asking me about the building. I said, yeah, Garth Brooks, his manager, owns the building. And she goes, yeah, Garth Brooks. I think my parents used to listen to him.
Oh,
she didn't
gosh.
Even know. And I said, man,
gosh.
I feel so old now. You know.
All right. So this is the Songwriter Spotlight. Jim Collins is in the studio with us. And we're going to come back and I guess hopefully play one more song.
I'm happy to.
Share a couple stories. This is so cool. Again, you know, it's the moment where we get to say thank you to the songwriters for giving us these great songs that really become part of our lives and the story of our lives. So
I remember, Jim, that when The Good Stuff went to number one, which I think it was number one for like over a month.
7 weeks.
Wow.
That's almost 2 months.
Yeah. I remember the story circulating that it was based on a real person.
It was. It was. I went to write with Craig Wiseman. Craig was late. And there was a security guy there named Rusty Martin. And Rusty had shaved all of his hair off, and I made a little joke about it or something, and we started talking, and I realized that his wife had passed away with cancer, and he'd shaved his head because she lost her hair, and he was trying to support her, and he started talking about her, and he was just I noticed that he just concentrated on all the wonderful things that they, you know, their kids and the life that they had. And then he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, you know, Jim, she taught me as much about dying as she did living. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. So I went up and told Craig that story. I said, you know, that's the good stuff. And 2 days later, we pitched it to Kenny, and he cut it.
2 days later.
2 days later, yeah. Wow.
And so, it's funny because, like, such a chance conversation.
Yeah, it
not
was.
Not only changed your lives, but yeah. So many people around the country, around the world.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Rusty, and we let him be a big part of it. You know, he knew that we wrote it about him, when we had our number one party, he got a number one plaque and a platinum
album,
same like as we did. Matter of fact, I had the original handwritten lyric. I used to write my lyrics on a legal pad, and I gave him the original lyric. It's in a frame that I gave to Rusty.
Oh wow!
You know, so. It was a big moment for me, and it was it was one of those life changing kind of songs, you know. So.
It would be completely a crime if we didn't have you sing a little bit of that.
Okay. My hands are cold.
Sorry, we keep it a little chilly.
I'm here in the Bat Cave. Me and my lady had a first big fight, so I drove around till I saw the neon lights of a corner bar. It just felt right, so I pulled up. And not a soul around but the old barkeep, down at the end looking half asleep. He walked up, said, what'll it be? I said, the good stuff. He didn't reach around for the whiskey, didn't pour me a beer. His blue eyes kind of went misty. He said, you won't find that here, 'cause it's the first long kiss on a second date. Your mama all worried when you get home late, and dropping the ring in the spaghetti plate, 'cause your hands are shaking so much. And it's the way that she looked with rice in her hair, eating burnt supper the whole first year, and asking for seconds to keep her from tearing up. Yeah, man, that's the good stuff. He grabbed a carton of milk and he poured a glass. I smiled, said, I'll have some of that. We sit there and talked as an hour passed, like old friends.
I saw a black and white picture and it caught my stare. It was a pretty girl with bouffant hair. He said, that's my Bonnie. Taken about a year after we wed. He said, I spent 5 years in the bottle when the cancer took her from me. But I've been sober 3 years now, 'cause the one thing stronger than the whiskey was the sight of her holding our baby girl. The way she adored that string of pearls I gave her the day our youngest boy Earl married his high school love. And it's a new t-shirt saying I'm a grandpa, being right there as our time got small and holding her hand when the good Lord called her up. Yeah, man, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. He said, when you get home, she'll start to cry. When she says she's sorry, say, so am I. And look into those eyes so deep in love and drink it up, 'cause that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff.
I am so glad you can actually sing too. I mean, as great as that song is, you know, there's been some, and I'm not going to name any names because I love them all to death, but there have been some songwriters that can't, you know, once you get used to hearing like Kenny Chesney sing a song that you go, that's a Kenny Chesney song. And then you hear Jim Collins sing it. You know, it's kind of cool when a songwriter sings their own song. It means something completely different.
Pretty much all every time I hear a songwriter do his own songs, you know, it does has an honesty about it that
you probably see Rusty as you're singing it.
I do, actually, I do. And what's weird about that song, his wife's name was Becky.
I was about to ask about Bonnie and Becky.
Well, Bonnie, the original handwritten lyric that I gave Rusty, the name on the lyric was Becky, and I changed it. I was raised by my great aunt. Her name was Bonnie. And so I just changed it kind of as a tribute to my Aunt Bonnie. But what's so weird is, I mean, you can't tell me that there's not some higher force up there. Becky was in the room with us that day because on the original lyric, on the original thing, we said Becky, and we didn't know her name.
And what?
Oh, so you just wrote okay. that? Yeah, that was her name?
He never told me her name.
That's
crazy. And on the original lyric, it said Becky. And so I believe that she was in the room with us that day.
Wow. Okay, that's like goosebumps, man. Like, literally, I kind of got I'm a Cajun yes. guy. We call it the frisons. I got my frisons. All right, look, Jim Collins, amazing songwriter. Thank you so much for spending a little
time
with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the show.
I feel bad that you had to wait, you know, so long to get in, and I want to say thank you for putting up with us. And, guys, support country music. Go out. That's why you don't download songs illegally. That's why people like this, they make their living off of these beautiful songs. Jim Collins, our songwriter spotlight today. And, again, it's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you.